You're listening to Just Bring It, the Nerd Podcast.
Hello and welcome to another edition of the Just Bring It podcast. As you hear it, by now I'm talking in English, but normally hört ihr mich in Deutsch, aber dieses Mal in English, because I have an international guest. We just tried to find a date. Now it is here, and please welcome Peter Tihany. Hello.
Hello, everyone. Thank you for having me. Yeah. And yes, the date is finally here and it's working. So, yeah. All good.
Peter, you're back from 16 Karat Gold Revenge in Frankfurt. Yes. How was it to compete with Laurie the second time? You came fourth the second time, right?
Yes, exactly. So it was our rematch, and I had another chance to beat him, and unfortunately it didn't work out again. I mean, there is a reason why he won 16 Karat. So yeah, but other than that, like, working with him is always really good because I think he's one of the best in the ring. But also at the same time, it's also very tough. So yeah, I hope I can beat him one day.
I'm speaking of 16 Karat Gold for all our listeners and viewers. Did we see some new shades from Peter Tihany at the finals? Like, you refused to give him a handshake and stuff like this?
Yeah, but like, so just imagine it's 16 Karat and you were like working for it the whole year or even more. And now it's your time to finally win 16 Karat and it's not working out. I think the emotions you have there and like the stuff which is like going in your mind is just a lot. So that was the only reason I didn't shake his hand. And like about the new, I guess you mentioned the new shades of me.
Or new
again. Again, I just really wanted to win 16 Karat because I feel like that's something I really want to do. And it was my time and it didn't work out. So it was just hard, to be honest. So that's why it happened.
And I saw a difference between the first round match. It was against, just help me please, against
Dr. Wagner.
Dr. Wagner Jr.
Yes.
You came out there like you always came out with hey, I'm here. Yes. And the final, you were just laser focused.
Yes,
you
was focused.
Interact with the audience. You just came down the aisle, go in the ring and bam.
Yes, exactly. Because that was the final match. I had to focus. Like, I really liked interacting with the people. But at that time, it was more like, okay, this is the time. This is my chance. I have to win 16 Karat.
Would you say going through 16 Karat Gold Tournament, every round becomes tougher and tougher, but you face some very, very different opponents. How do you prepare for your opponents then?
Yeah, exactly. So I think it becomes tougher and tougher. And not just because of your opponents, but if you think about you there the whole weekend, you have matches, your body is getting tired, you're getting tired mentally, and also the opponents are getting tougher and tougher because I guess you get closer to the final, you just want it even more and more. So getting prepared is actually pretty hard. You have to give everything you have there in that moment, and that's how you can go through the whole tournament.
What would you say was your toughest challenge thus far in this year's 16 Karat Gold?
This year? I mean, I would say every match I had was different. So in their own way, all of them were very new challenge. So for example, the first one against Dr. Wagner, like he's the GHC champion in NOAH. So that's already something like, oh, that's the tough first round. And then on the second day, it was OGMO, who is the Revolution Pro champion. And of course, for a reason. So like all of them were different. And then I wrestled Egg, which was not new to me because we already had matches, but I think like he just improved so much through the years that it was harder to beat him. And also I had a back injury because of back to the roots. So that also didn't help. So I would say all of them were tough and all of them were tough for a different reason.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Since you came up short in Karat, what's your next goals in the next months to come when you think about your WXW run?
Oh, that's a very good question. So actually, I feel like we have... So I have to settle this back injury stuff with Robert. So I would say now he's my new focus. But I also try not to forget that in August there is going to be shortcut to the top, the Rumble match. So winning that would be a really huge opportunity for the title later. So I would say right now is the main title, the WXW title.
And it will be if you will win the main title. This is your first title in WXW, right?
Yes, it is. It is. It's my first. So that would be something big to start with.
I'm asking because parallel to the WXW career, you have a career, so to say, in GVF in Berlin, right?
Yes, exactly.
So you won the tag team title.
Yes, I was the tag team champ there with Festa and Mudu, and also now I'm the champion for Wrestling Cult.
The world champion of Wrestling Cult. Yes. And when you compare the different brands. Mm-hmm. How the difference between WXW and GVF and the GWF? Is there any difference in your style? Is there any difference in your whole acting
I would say so. GWF is always in Berlin, so I feel like I know the crowd there a little bit more rather than with WXW because we always have shows in different cities. Of course, you will get used to it after a while because you're going back to Oberhausen and the crowd there is different. You're going to Frankfurt, the crowd there is different. So if you do it more and more, you will get used to it.
But other than that, you mentioned Bielefeld.
Yeah, crowd. Yeah, but Bielefeld has a different, Bielefeld, there's always something. I can explain it later if you want. But like back to the question, I would say my style is not very, I do what I do everywhere I go because I feel like it's working and yeah, so I just do my style and that's it.
Okay. What's the thing with Bielefeld?
So with Bielefeld, yes. So the first time ever when I was there, it was in 2022 before 16 karat, 10 days before 16 karat. Mm-hmm. And I get injured there. So that's how it started. And then the next year before Bielefeld, that's when I did the crossbody, which broke Robert's face. Right. And then it was another Bielefeld show, I think last year around fall somewhere, and I had to miss that. And this year, when there was another Bielefeld show, I got really sick, so I also had to cancel that. So I don't know, with Bielefeld, there is something going on.
Exactly.
I mean, I don't want to say that because I really want to go back to Bielefeld just to prove that I can do it. But yeah, there was always something. So yes,
it's about 30 kilometers from my home. So this is
it's not that far from also from here. But yeah, for some reason we don't have a good relationship with Bielefeld. But I hope it's gonna change. Yeah. I mean, it has to change.
You live in Oberhausen?
No, I live in Essen.
In Essen.
Yes.
Okay. Should I look? Speaking of. The crossbody you did against Robert. I was there in attendance at ringside, and I told this story in the podcast sometimes. And I had the girlfriend of my son with me, who was first time at a wrestling show, and you did the crossbody, and she said, "Oh my God, he's bleeding! Oh, mm-hmm. that's a really good show. How did they do that?" I don't say no. I work in a hospital, so in an anesthesia unit. I say no. There is something wrong.
Yes. And
did you realize the time you did this? Did you realize on the impact that there was something going wrong?
That's the thing. So I've done a crossbody before that 100 times, 1,000 times, and also after this. So when I did the crossbody, it was just like another crossbody, nothing crazy. But then I started I did the crossbody, and then I started kind of ground and pounding Robert, and then I could see some blood. So I was like, okay, probably it's the lips or maybe the nose. And then it started to bleed more and more. And also the blood was like really dark. So that's when we were like, okay, probably there's something worse than we expected. And then it just I think you remember how it turned out. So when I hit it and when the landing happened, I felt the same, nothing new. When I saw the blood, I was like, okay, it can happen because it's wrestling, it can happen. But as soon as we kept going,
no animosity between you both. You said, "Oh, you hurt me in real life," so you're fine with each other. So this is a thing that can happen.
Yes, it can happen. It can happen. It was not on purpose. I know that. He knows that. Mm-hmm. And also the next day, we had a show at the WXW Academy where, like, of course, when it happened, even though it was not on purpose, it just feels, it feels bad to do this because, mm-hmm. like, he's someone who you're working with at the same company. So, of course, you don't want to injure the other person. And, you know, like, this happened. So, of course, I was in a bad mood because of this. Mm-hmm. And the next day when we had that show, I was like, okay, I need to hit the crossbody or it's just gonna stick with me forever and I cannot do it anymore.
Did you hesitate on doing a crossbody or
no,
did you?
No, I was like, I need to do this.
Yeah.
Like I have to, because if I hesitate, that's gonna be the troublemaker, you know? Mm-hmm. So yeah.
Okay. All of us know, you came from Hungary to Germany. Could you describe to our listeners and viewers the difference between the fans in Germany and Hungary? Is there a big difference? Is the scene different?
I would say the scene is different because it's way bigger here. I mean, Germany is way bigger than Hungary. That's obvious. And because of that, the wrestling is also bigger. There are more, like, a lot of promotions here. In Hungary, we have 3 promotions. And I would say, like, ACW, which, like, that's where I started, that's the biggest one. And if someone watches ACW, I think they kind of know about the other 2 promotions. So I would say the fans are always the same. Mm-hmm. But in Germany, because there are a lot of promotions, a lot of cities, it's like always new people. Of course, you have the people who are always there, but you meet more new people than in Hungary. So yeah, like, because of that, I think it's hard to, you know, it's like, yeah, it's, there is going to be differences for sure. And that's because of these reasons.
And how big are the venues in Hungary?
So actually for ACW, I would say, so we had shows with 1,200 people, which for Hungarian standards and for wrestling standards, I would say it's pretty good. But ACW runs their shows in a boxing venue. So it's not just a boxing venue, but also a boxing school. So because of that, the lights are already there. The sound system is already there. And also they have the seats already there. Mm-hmm. So most of the times the shows are 400 up to 650 people, which is pretty good for every show. For Passion Pro, it's a little bit smaller, but also, like, they didn't, so the idea of the whole promotion was different, so that's why it was also it was a little bit like PWG style, you know, like smaller venues, smaller crowd, but those, like, the people that are really hardcore wrestling fans. And there is the third one, which is XWP. That's like a smaller promotion that's up, like, in the north of Hungary. So that's more about their local talents, and that's the smallest one, but also it's kind of like it has to be like that, because that's like they try to focus on that part and not on the whole country.
Mm-hmm. And you did your first steps inside the ring at
HCW.
Yes,
exactly.
And you trained by Icarus and Dover, right?
Yes, exactly.
And they were trainers. Would you say that they are your biggest influence in when it comes to your in-ring style, when it comes to your wrestling skills and abilities, or are there others who influenced you?
So I would say
the way you act right now.
Yeah, I would say maybe not my in-ring style, because so the stuff I do it because I like to do it, and I like this kind of style. But just like everything I learned from the basics to more advanced stuff, it started with them. And I'm like up to this day, I still like ask for advice from them. So if like, I would say it's not just about the moves. So everyone can learn the moves, but but they helped me with a lot of aspects of wrestling, let's say business-wise, or just character-wise, or promo-wise, or every other aspect of wrestling. And also not just in wrestling, but to be honest, because so I started when I was 12, and so now I'm doing this for almost 12 years, and we know each other for 12 years, so they also helped me a lot in my personal life, not just in my wrestling career. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and since I started working with WXW, also Robert Dreisker is one of these figures, so yeah, and I would say the same about him. It's not just about my wrestling, but also about my personal life.
And he was the one who convinced you to go as a trainer and to move to Essen to be a full-time WXW employee, right?
I became a trainer in Hungary when I turned 18. They were asked me if I would love to try it out. And I said, yes, of course, I want to do it. And then I really, really liked it. And after a while, it was just me. So I was running all of the classes. And they realized that. And he realized he could rely on me with these kind of stuff. So So I became the head coach there, I would say. Of course, Dover was still the owner of the whole thing, and he was the main boss, but I was the head coach. And when I started working for WXW, I also had opportunities sometimes to run some classes here for the academy. And when the injury of Robert happened, like that was the first time where I stayed here for 2 weeks, and also rotation was out because he had an injury. So I was the only trainer. So I was running every class. And that was the first time when these talks about moving here and working for WXW full-time, that's when it started. So I would say it was not Robert who kind of like pushed me to do it, but he was the person who helped me to achieve it. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Her also moved with you because she is right now a camera operator for WXW and do some of the video editing, right?
Yes, exactly. My sister's also moved up. So I moved in June and she moved in September. So just three months apart. Yeah.
Did you miss your hometown, or did you miss Hungary very much? Or
So sometimes it's easier, sometimes it's harder, to be honest. Yeah, so let's say when you are here for 16 carats, you're living your best life, and you know when it's over, yeah. And it's like, okay, now back to reality, that's when like these problems can hit you. So like in these harder time periods, you also like start missing your home more, and your friends and your girlfriend and family and everything, because like I was living there for 23 years. Like I grew up there, so of course it's like, it was a huge change to move to a different country where I don't speak the language. I can understand more and more, but still.
Try to make your answer in German. So feel free.
No. Like speaking is really hard. Understanding is a little bit not easier, but I get used to it more and more. Let me say that.
Not forcing you.
Yeah. So I would say, of course, I miss Hungary. Sometimes I really miss Hungary. Sometimes a little bit less. So it really depends.
And living your personal life in Hungary and living your personal life in Germany, is there a big difference? Is there a big difference in the public and the people you meet in the streets and the food and the culture? What's a big difference between Germany?
So since I'm here, I feel like I'm more alone and I'm more to myself. When I was in Hungary, like when I used to live there, I was always like everywhere with the friends, meeting new people, like going to new places. And since I moved here, like everything is in the beginning, especially it was really new, you know, like, okay, where do I have to go to, I don't know, buy my groceries? Where do I have to go to, I don't know, if I want to have a party or whatever. But it's also like, I also started, I don't know how, like I was always focusing on my wrestling career a lot, but since I'm doing this full time and I have a contract, it's even more, I would say. So if I have the time just to take some days off to rest, I would rather keep it that way than going out somewhere, you know? So I don't know, I do a 16 carat weekend and then I have two or three free days that I would spend it to recover. I don't know, clean up my flat and just doing my personal life, but not like going out, having parties, meeting new people, whatever. And also, I feel like it's a little bit hard here, but other than that, it's all good.
Okay. And we mentioned earlier that you work as a trainer for WXW. Yes. And you have, as I reckon, you have three coaches. We have Robert, you have Peter Tigani, and you have the rotation.
Yes, exactly.
Is there a difference between what each and every one of you teaches the class? Is there some one teacher for maybe basic stuff, the other one for promo stuff, the other one for character build, or how do you fit in one each other in the course?
Yeah, so exactly, and I think that's why it's good that so there are three trainers and all of them are a little bit different and they teach different stuff. So for example, Robert is doing the advanced classes and also the tape studies and the promo classes. I'm running intermediate and core classes, which is the beginners and also one kids class. So like for the beginners, you need to like teach the basics, how to use the ring, how to use the ropes, how to take bumps, how to like do the basic techniques. Also rotation is doing the same, but he also really likes to do and teach lucha stuff for them. So I think that's why it's good that the three trainers are different styles and they're teaching you different styles. Yeah.
As you mentioned, you are teaching a kids class and what's about the kids class? How young are the kids? And
So I think the youngest one now is six.
Six?
Yes, six, seven, eight. That's we all, like, yeah, but I would say normally it's around 10 or 11, 12. I would say, yeah, that's the main. Yeah, but the youngest one is six. And he's actually pretty good, so.
A really big difference between teaching adults and teaching kids? Are kids more like a sponge who soak all the...
Yes, exactly. Exactly. And also for kids, if you show kids new movements, I think they can adapt it easier and they can learn it easier. For adults who... So let's say there is a guy, 25 years old, and he never really did a lot of sports. I think it's gonna be a little bit harder for him to learn some movements, just because
I can say it on experience. I tried judo when I was 43 years old. I'm now almost 51 years old. I tried it, and I was always afraid on falling. Yeah, I was always afraid on rolling and falling.
Yeah,
backwards. But when it goes to head first, it was start.
Yeah, exactly. But if you are when you are a kid, you're just moving around a lot and you're falling, you climb trees, you always go outside. And because of that, like to learn these movements, I think it's a little bit easier. I mean, not a little bit, way easier.
And when it comes to kids, as I'm a father of three kids also.
So yes.
The question is, do you think that wrestling helps kids in personal life and getting confidence and getting stuff like this? Can you give us some insights on this?
Yeah, I think for sure. So. Also, if you are young and if you're a kid and you move around a lot, that's gonna also help your nervous system to develop differently. So I think if you're doing sports when you are younger, like later learning new stuff in school or in just life, it's gonna be easier because of the nerves in your brain. That's how they develop differently. Of course, I'm not a doctor or anything, so I don't know like exact details, but like this is a thing. So. And that's, yes, as you mentioned, also it can help your,
confidence.
Yeah, confidence, that's it, yes. And it can help a lot. So also just like moving, like doing sports is a healthy thing. So even if you're not going to be a wrestler for some reason, just because you did wrestling and you like did some kind of sport activity when you were younger, I think it's going to help you a lot.
And speaking of your own development in wrestling, you mentioned as you started as you were 12 years old, right?
Yes, exactly.
How long does it take before your trainer said, "Oh, Peter, little boy, you're ring ready. You can have your first match."
Yeah. So that I think this is the question which is the hardest to answer. So if someone asked me, "Okay, if I start wrestling, how long is it gonna take me to be an active wrestler?" It's like, I'm sorry, but I cannot tell you if it's gonna take 1 year, 2 years, 6 months, 3 months. It's like, it's really hard to tell. So when I started when I was 12, in Hungary, there is a rule that you cannot do shows or you cannot have matches until you are 18. So because of that, it took me 6 years to actually start having matches. But I know that in different countries, it is different. Sometimes you can have matches at 16 or even 14, or I don't know. But yeah, it's really hard to tell. I think it's really up to the person, because every person develops like differently. So it's really hard to tell. Also, if someone is doing more and training more, then probably he can make his debut earlier. You know, so I think it's like, this is the question where I'm like, I don't know. It's up to you. We will see.
Okay. Yeah. Speaking of being ring ready, or speaking of having your first match, is there a decision between or an argument between the rotation, Robert, and you when you say, okay, you're ring ready, we test you at the academy show, or is it the last word has the head coach alone, or is
yes, of course. No, like, so if it, let's say we think about someone that he's ready and he should like have matches, and Robert thinks that's not the case, he's the head coach for a reason. So if he says no, then it is what it is. But also, if he thinks that someone is ready, he's going to ask us what we think about it. So it's not just like, okay, Robert's gonna decide that it's going to happen and that's it. But like, we try and we work together. So yes.
Can you give us an insight on is there a guy in the academy who's training right now who we definitely have to look for? Can you tell us?
Yes. I don't know if I should already spoiler the name, but so not that long ago, we said someone in the advanced class that you should make a gear for yourself, and after that you are ready to start working on the heat shows at the academy.
Ah, cool.
Yeah. Oh, and we also we have some guys with potential, so I think it's gonna be great.
Keep our eyes open.
Yes, exactly.
And let me see. This is a question I ask every wrestler and every active sportsman, which I have on the podcast. The most of the time you work in WXW, all of the time you work as a face, as a fan favorite. Mm-hmm. And was there a time in your career when you worked as a baddie?
Actually, yes. So I made my debut in 2018. Like, that was my first official match, I would say. Before that, I had some smaller matches. But like, I was a face all the time. And I think in 2018-ish, or maybe it was 19 already, I don't really remember. We had a storyline in HCW with my friends who just also made their debut. And we were the new generation, five young guys who, like, yeah, we were the new blood there. And we wanted to like kind of take over the promotion and whatever. And we were the young juveniles. So yeah, at that time I was a heel. After that, I turned face, and I would say most of the times when I was in a promotion, I worked as a face. I think since 2019, I worked as a heel maybe 5-6 less than 10 times, let's say that. Mm-hmm. Which for 5 years, I think it's not that many.
Most of wrestlers who I speak to tell me that being a heel is easier than being a face. Would you agree on this?
I don't think so, because so the thing is, first I have to experience it more to actually say yes or no. But now I would say it's not easier, because you have to make the face look good. And you have to take more bumps. So I don't think it's easier, let me say. I think being a good face and being a good heel is, like, both of them are really hard.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let me come to some short question. We talked about your first match. Did you have any match in your career who you say, there I was on my peak, there I was completely satisfied with myself when you went off stage?
I would say, even though I didn't win the 16-carat final, what we did with Lowry, I think that was pretty good. Also, I would say last year at the Tag Team Festival against X-Men, the best of five series final. And also I won there, so I think that's a plus.
It was the main event on that day for a reason, so.
Yeah, exactly. It was long. It was 27 minutes, which is a long fight.
This is the kind of art in a long wrestling match. You say, yeah, it took 27 minutes, but I looked at the bell ring, you're both doing your stuff, and you win. I don't realize that there were 27 minutes gone.
That's good.
German, we have a nice word. It's kurzweilig. It's short, and you're really enjoying it. So
okay, that's good. Yeah, and also sometimes I would say it's the same for us. Sometimes you feel like we were in the ring for a long time, and then it turns out it was not that long, or also the other way around. So I would say like. Yeah, I would say the Lowry and Strowman match, the X-Men match. I think last year 16-carat with Akira, also Trey Miguel. Also before that, Mike Bailey at Tag Team Festival and Jonathan Gresham. These are just popping into mind.
And the Lawrence Roman match, as you mentioned, in the 16-carat. I get some memories of one of my favorite WrestleMania matches. I got some Bret Hart and Austin vibes.
All right, that's nice. That's nice to hear.
Because the fan favorite going in the match turned out a little bit heelish, and the bad guy turned out to be a fan favorite because there are so many little details in the beginning. I think Roman got out first, right? Roman got out first.
Yes,
and he's not doing the Ambos fist, so he
yes, there you go.
To his hands up. So there are some little details, and he's going to you in the corner. He's offering you a handshake or stuff like this. You got me for a second. You turned your characters slightly around. So I was very curious. How did this work out? And so I don't know for whom do I cheer? So this was the same when I watched as a young kid when I watched Austin Hart.
Yeah? Yes.
You know what I mean? The double turn.
Right? Exactly, and also like. So, like, the 16-carat weekend, like, there were a lot of matches, a lot of wrestlers, a lot of shows. So, and before us, it was a really spectacular lucha match. So, if we go into the final to do a cool match, it can happen. But, you know, it's like, okay, there was a match, and that's it. But if we can do something and play around with the emotions and with the story, I think that's why the people gonna remember it, and even like they've seen a lot of stuff before us. Crazy shooting star press to the outside, probably Canadian destroyers. I don't know, but you know, like the crazy moves. And then when we did our match, I think the emotions were like so big that everyone could feel it, and that's why it was different, and that's why people remember it more rather than just doing cool moves.
Exactly what you're saying. When you look back at the carrot when Robert and Gresham were in,
yes,
was also a crazy lucha match before. It was really, really great. It was really, really entertaining. But you know, when Tommy Giesen says the wrestling world looks to Oberhausen, shit getting serious. And when Robert and Jonathan Gresham wrestle, and the whole locker room's coming and it's doing the mad thing. You know what
yes,
I mean?
Yes.
You know, here is something special to happen. But normally the locker room didn't come out and make this kind of stuff.
Exactly.
So, for me, it's more important in a carrot final to do a character-based wrestling match than something spectacular. And you both did exactly that. You had me. I was on the edge of my seat saying, who's going to win? Who's going to win? Is Tiani going to make it? Is Roman going to make it?
Yeah.
So, I don't know. This is the cool thing when you sit there as an audience, and you don't know who should I cheer.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And also, like, when I watched it back, there were so like they showed the crowd and the people, like I could see the people, like the faces they made, they were like shocked, they were surprised, some of them were crying, some of them were happy. So like that's what I felt, like, okay, we did something great there.
Yeah, really. Yeah. when we come to your awards, wrestling matches of the year, we in Europe, we have this in mind, right? Talking about matches, is there a dream opponent you have? Who you gonna wrestle? Whole world, if it's nothing is impossible. Is there any wrestler in the whole world you want to wrestle?
That's really hard because
big three wrestlers.
So I can say anyone, right?
Yeah, you can say anyone.
Okay, so John Cena, he's my childhood hero. I need to, yes, exactly. I need, like, that would be something. That would be crazy. Gunther, sorry, that's his name. I would really love to wrestle him because I really like his style.
Never wrestled before? No, never.
So when I started to wrestle more in Europe, I think he was already working for NXT UK. So I think we met a couple of times, but never in the ring. So working him would be awesome. And for the last one, that's really hard. I would say someone from Japan for sure, some big Japanese name, because I was a huge Japanese wrestling fan in 2019. So just to fulfill that dream would be nice. So someone from Japan.
I just see you competing against Katsuyori Shibata.
Yeah, for example, there you go. That's a good pick. Yeah, I would love that for sure.
And do you have, speaking of dream opponents, do you have a Mount Rushmore of wrestling?
Oh, Mount Rushmore. Actually, I'm pretty bad with these questions because when someone asks me something like...
Und da ist kurz weg. You were just gone for a second, so...
Yeah, same. So, all right. So, yeah, when someone asks me this, it's like my mind just stops working and it's really hard to say, like Mount Rushmore. I don't know. That's a hard question, to be honest. I don't know. I have some wrestlers who I really liked when I was a kid, or just like I really like their style. But to like speak four, maybe that would be really hard.
And we're already getting slightly through the end, but I have some short questions, as I say.
Yes.
And besides wrestling, how does Peter Dehaene spend his spare time when he doesn't has his mind in wrestling?
Oh, that's hard. When I don't have my mind in wrestling, even though if I'm not in the ring or training, I feel like my mind is always like thinking about wrestling. So sometimes I need to tell myself, slow down your mind, and you need to relax a little bit. So for example, when I go back to Hungary, that's when I could really like rest, I would say, being with my friends, going to a spa just to relax my body, getting a massage, but that's rare. I would say I would rather go to a spa. So yeah, being with friends, I don't know, going to concerts, I really like to do that also. It's actually in Germany, there are a lot of good concerts, but most of the times I'm booked somewhere, so I'm missing out a lot.
What's your favorite music, by the way? What would you like to hear from some scum?
My favorite band is Bring Me the Horizon. I don't know if you know them. Yes, know so them. They are my favorite. I'm a really big metal fan. I also really like hip hop and reggae music lately. Like when I used to do BJJ, and that's when the reggae, like that's when I started to like reggae music. So I would say hip hop, metal, and reggae is my style.
Parkway Drive, by the way.
Parkway Drive, yes.
One of my favorite bands.
Yeah, I've seen them once for sure, but maybe twice.
I saw them in Dortmund in 2022.
Oh, nice.
Fire. And,
yeah, they are really good. So yeah, other than that, I like video games. So I just
Same question. Favorite
video game?
Yeah.
I would say the Spider-Man games. I really like them. I also really like Spider-Man. So like that's my favorite Marvel movie ever. So I guess that's why I like the game.
The one with Tobey Maguire.
Yes, exactly. The OG. I mean, I like most of them, but yeah, if I have to choose one, it's the Tobey Maguire one. And also, I really like the Into the Spider-Verse series with Miles Morales. I think that's also pretty good. Also, back to the games, I'm a really huge, I used to do skateboarding as well, and I really like the culture of skateboarding. So I'm a really huge Tony Hawk pro skater fan. I think I finished that game more than I should say, so.
Yeah. But for me, it's strategy games. I played on my PS5 the new Baldur's Gate game over and over again.
Yeah.
We love fantasy games, so
yeah.
And let me say we will come to the last question. But is there any goals for the future? Do you if NXT Europe comes?
Yes.
They knock on your door.
Yes, I'm gonna open it.
You're gonna open it.
Of course. Yes. That would be something which. So right now, as I'm sitting here, living in Germany, being 24, that would be the best option. Later, working for WWE full time, like that's my end goal. That's my main goal. So, but yeah, if like right now NXT Europe would be amazing. Yes.
Okay. But I hope we have you for a few more years.
Yeah. I still have to learn a lot, so I think I'm going to be here.
Okay. Is there anything you would like to say to our viewers and listeners, to your German fans right now? So I give you the platform and you can say some wishes or greetings or stuff like that.
Yeah, nothing crazy, but just like being in Germany and like being around the German fans and working for German promotions, it is awesome. So I just want to say thank you for everyone for having me here and like supporting me through my journey and doing podcasts with me or just like sending me messages, buying my merch. So every small support is just like, I'm just really grateful for it. So danke schön.
Sehr gerne.
Sehr gerne. There you go. So, nice.
Wenn ihr das jetzt gehört habt, es würde mich freuen, wenn ihr ein Like da lasst, kommentiert und I just have to say thank you, Peter Tihany, for this
thank you too.
Little kurzweilige Unterhaltung, Conversation and wir hören uns bald wieder auf diesem Kanal und das war's. Bis dahin. Tschüss.
Tschüss.
And you're listening to Just Bring It, the Nerd Podcast.